Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Matache, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Zama.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Lovely. Fantastic. Cannot complain. The weather temperatures have dropped here significantly. So it's a very cold day in Pretoria this morning. How's your side?
There's no winter in Beira.
No winter in Beira?
Yes.
Warm all the time. Ah, lovely, man. Great to hear that. Now, we are talking about and continuing the role of the Holy Spirit in daily life. And we do understand that the Holy Spirit is involved in the sanctification process of believers, according to 1 Peter 1, verse 2. Now, the Spirit leads believers away from desires of the flesh into righteousness, filling those who yield themselves to His control, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Now, the Holy Spirit is also among unbelievers. The Spirit convicts the world concerning sin and righteousness and also judgment, John 16, verse 8. Now, Pastor, how does the Holy Spirit convict us of sin?
The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin to awaken the heart and the mind to see the sinfulness of sin.
Okay.
Yeah, it is a deep spiritual awakening that draws the person to the Savior and draws the person to repentance and transformation.
You gotta be able to see the sinfulness of sin, and but quite frankly, I think that's very deep, because there are people who may not necessarily see the sinfulness, the gravity of sin itself. And you're saying that the duty of the Holy Spirit is to see that and convict us of that very sin. Wow. Now, how does the Holy Spirit's conviction differ from a guilty conscience?
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. A guilt conscience is natural, and the Holy Spirit's conviction is supernatural.
Wow.
A guilt conscience is a remorse that is driven by fear and condemnation. The Holy Spirit's conviction is driven by love and redemption. Guilt conscience can be influenced also by personal standards. A person may set their own standards, and when they don't meet them, they feel guilty. I can give you a quick example. There are certain people who feel guilty if they wear a miniskirt. Others wear the very same miniskirt and they don't feel anything. So guilt conscience may be determined by personal standards. Guilt conscience is also driven by shame and moral discomfort.
Yeah.
After a wrongdoing. Conviction. I was looking at the Greek word for conviction there from John chapter 16, verse 8. From which we get the word that is translated reprove. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will reprove of sin. The word that is translated reprove there is elenko. Elenko is a conviction that is based upon love, exposing wrong, helping a person to see sin and understand truth, and be moved to repentance. And Ellen White in Steps to Christ, page 24, paragraph 2, she says, repentance includes sorrow for sin and a turning away from it from the heart. She says, we shall not renounce sin unless we see its sinfulness. Until we turn from it from the heart, there will be no real change. So most of the times, we feel guilty but we do not see the sinfulness of sin.
Mm.
And we don't turn away from sin from the heart. So there are a lot of things that we felt guilt about that we still do. But when the Holy Spirit's conviction comes, it places inside you the deep desire to move towards the Savior.
Hmm. That's quite a deep. Now, how can we be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit's convictions?
We need to pray daily, daily prayer, asking God for guidance. We need to read scripture, Bible study, experience God talking to you, and familiarize yourself. You need to keep a humble and teachable spirit. Every day, ask God, teach me. There is a prayer that was offered by David in Psalms 139, verse 23 to 24. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wickedness in me. We need to pray this prayer daily. We also need to ask God to help us to avoid sin so that we avoid the hardening of the heart.
Yeah, now there are also dangers here, Pastor, as I understand. What would you say are the dangers of ignoring the Holy Spirit's conviction?
The dangers of ignoring the Holy Spirit's conviction that we will harden our own hearts. In Exodus chapter 9, verse 27. Pharaoh says with his own mouth, I have sinned, and yet he does not repent. He had this conviction, but he ignores it. And as a result, Pharaoh's heart was hardened.
Yes, yes.
We also have a risk of grieving the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, Paul warns that we should not grieve the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that speaks to our hearts to convict us. If we deliberately ignore, we may end up grieving the Holy Spirit and we'll lose discernment.
So
you know the story of Felix in Acts chapter 24. After being face to face with Paul, Felix says, you have almost persuaded me. Come again next year. Unfortunately for him, next year he was gone, he was dead. So we risk facing death without repentance if we do not respond positively to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, if we do not listen to the Holy Spirit, we will commit the unpardonable sin, which is a continual resistance of the Holy Spirit to such a point when the Holy Spirit will no longer talk to us and we are cut off from the communication for good and we will never repent.
Now, ignoring the Holy Spirit and the unpardonable sin, is it the same thing? Because you look like you're saying that ignoring the Holy Spirit may lead to. So it's not the same thing.
Come again?
I'm saying the unpardonable sin.
Yes.
Is it the same as ignoring the Holy Spirit?
Yes, it is. It's the same.
So it's the same thing?
Unpardonable sin is when the Holy Spirit convicting you or doing its promptings upon the heart and you ignore it for long until he stops communicating with you. So grieving the Holy Spirit, ignoring the Holy Spirit is equal to unpardonable sin.
Whoa. Do you not think that perhaps then this business of repentance is rather a forced business. Did you hear? Did you get my question?
No, I didn't.
I'm saying, in that case, it sounds like you then have to repent whether you like it or not. Otherwise, if you don't, you would be said to have ignored the Holy Spirit and you'd be punished. So it's better to then just forcefully, pay attention and repent.
Okay. That's interesting. Let me. I'll read you a quote from Ellen White, but there's mm-hmm. something that I want to highlight first before I read the quote again.
Okay.
Repentance is a must for every Christian. But most of us think I need to repent first so that God can accept me, which is what Satan is saying. That's God does not teach that. God says, come as you are, and I will give you repentance.
So this is not a choice thing, basically.
Sorry?
So this is not a choice thing, basically.
Listening to the Holy Spirit is a choice.
But if you don't, then you would have ignored the Holy Spirit and you are punished.
If you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, you have made a choice to cut him off from your life, and you will have the results, the consequences. That's what love does.
And so is that what causes the unpardonable sin?
That's it.
Mm.
When the Holy Spirit speaks to you
and
you ignore until he stops talking to you, because of too much resistance. That's why in Hebrews chapter 4, he says, today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So every chance that we get, because we don't know tomorrow, we must use it for the glory of God. But we should not try to repent, because in most cases, that's what we do. We must acknowledge our guilty, go to God, ask him to give us repentance. None of us can repent on our own. We can choose to, and God can give us the repentance.
Yeah, these things are quite heavenly, and they are not easy to get by. But Pastor Amos, thank you so much for joining us. We will connect with you once again tomorrow. But before I let you go, any parting shot?
I want to read that quotation and then I'll go.
Okay.
In Steps to Christ, page 26, paragraph 1, Ellen White says, the light which lightened every man that cometh into the world illuminates the secret chambers of the soul, and the hidden things of darkness are made manifest. Conviction takes hold upon the mind and heart, and the sinner has a sense of the righteousness of Jehovah and feel the terror of appearing in his own guilty and uncleanness before the searcher of hearts. He sees the love of God, the beauty of holiness, the joy of purity. He longs to be cleansed and to be restored to communion with heaven. So the conviction of the Holy Spirit will plant a deep longing for restoration by God. And we will not make Judas' prayer, I have sold innocent blood, but we do not repent. Or Balaam's prayer after seeing an angel when the donkey resisted. But we will do the prayer of David in Psalms chapter 51. He says, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. So we will have this longing once the Holy Spirit convicts us. We must always go to Christ, whether we are dead, we are sinful. In Matthew chapter 11, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So he invites us in our filthiness. He will deal with us. He knows how to cleanse us. So let's take that chance and go to him.
Let's take the chance and go to him. Fantastic place to end it at. Thank you so much, Pastor Matacha. We'll connect with you once again tomorrow.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.